Green Eggs and Ham isn't just a book. It's a cultural phenomenon that has sold over 8 million copies worldwide and been translated into more than 20 languages. Born from a $50 bet between Dr. Seuss and his publisher Bennett Cerf that he couldn't write an engaging children's book using only 50 different words, this masterpiece has become a cornerstone of early childhood literacy. The book has been endorsed by literacy experts, featured in countless classrooms, and even read by NASA astronauts from space. Its simple yet profound message about trying new experiences has influenced generations, with celebrities like Taylor Swift and Barack Obama citing it among their favorite childhood books. Beyond its literary impact, the book has inspired everything from themed restaurants to psychological studies on food neophobia. What makes this seemingly simple story about unusual colored breakfast foods so enduringly powerful across cultures and generations? The creation of Green Eggs and Ham represents one of the most brilliant exercises in creative constraint in literary history. When publisher Bennett Cerf wagered $50 that Dr. Seuss, Theodore Seuss Geisel, couldn't write a meaningful children's book using only 50 unique words, most authors would have balked at such limitations. Instead, Dr. Seuss embraced the challenge with characteristic ingenuity, crafting a narrative that feels anything but restricted, and, in doing so, created what would become his best-selling work, with over 8 million copies sold by 2016. The 50 words he selected are predominantly one-syllable terms: am, and, anywhere, are, be, boat, box, car, could, dark, do, eat, eggs, fox, goat, good, green, ham, here, house, I, if, in, let, like, may, me, mouse, not, on, or, rain, Sam, say, see, so, thank, that, the, them, there, they, train, tree, try, will, with, would, you. With these building blocks, he constructed 802 words of total text through masterful repetition and recombination. Each word was carefully chosen for its versatility and potential for creative reuse, a linguistic puzzle that required both mathematical precision and artistic vision. This linguistic minimalism serves multiple pedagogical and developmental purposes. For emerging readers, the limited vocabulary creates a confidence-building experience where recognition replaces frustration. The rhythmic repetition reinforces word recognition while creating an almost musical quality to the text, a feature that makes the book particularly effective when read aloud. Research has shown that this pattern of controlled vocabulary with rhythmic repetition activates the brain's language centers more effectively than random word exposure. Studies in early childhood education have demonstrated that children often memorize the entire book, using it as a springboard for independent reading. What's particularly remarkable is how Dr. Seuss manages to convey complex emotional states, stubbornness, annoyance, persistence, reluctance, and eventual delight, using such a restricted lexicon. The unnamed protagonist's journey from absolute refusal to tentative acceptance is rendered with psychological nuance despite the limited word palette. The character arc mirrors common childhood experiences with new foods, making it relatable while teaching valuable lessons about openness to new experiences. This demonstrates Seuss's profound understanding of how simplicity can sometimes convey emotional complexity more effectively than elaborate prose, a principle that would influence generations of children's authors. The 50-word challenge wasn't just a stunt. It represented Dr. Seuss's genuine commitment to literacy and his understanding of how children learn to read. By creating engaging stories with controlled vocabulary, he pioneered an approach to children's literature that valued both educational utility and genuine entertainment. This philosophy would revolutionize how we think about children's books, inspiring the creation of other controlled vocabulary readers and establishing a new standard for educational entertainment. The success of Green Eggs and Ham proved that creative constraints, rather than limiting artistic expression, can catalyze innovation and lasting impact. The unnamed narrator of Green Eggs and Ham presents one of children's literature's most memorable studies in psychological resistance. From the story's opening moments, we encounter a character defined by absolute certainty. He does not like Sam I Am, and he most certainly does not like Green Eggs and Ham. This categorical rejection becomes his defining characteristic, almost an identity in itself. What makes this resistance particularly interesting is its irrationality. The narrator has never actually tried Green Eggs and Ham, yet maintains an unshakable conviction about disliking them. This mirrors a common human tendency toward prejudgment, forming strong opinions about experiences, people, or ideas before direct engagement. The character's resistance isn't just about food. It represents a broader closed-mindedness that many readers, young and old, can recognize in themselves. The psychological authenticity of this resistance is striking. The narrator doesn't simply say no once. He constructs increasingly elaborate justifications and scenarios in which he would continue to reject the unfamiliar food. Not in a box, not with a fox, not in a house, not with a mouse. This escalating pattern of refusal reveals how people often entrench themselves deeper in their positions when challenged, building more elaborate defenses rather than reconsidering their stance. The character's body language in the illustrations reinforces this psychological state. Arms crossed, brow furrowed, physically turning away from Sam I Am, these visual cues communicate closed-mindedness as effectively as the text. Dr. Seuss understood that resistance isn't just verbal, but embodied in our physical responses. What's particularly insightful is how the narrator's resistance becomes almost comically extreme. By the middle of the story, he's declaring he wouldn't eat green eggs and ham in increasingly improbable scenarios: on a boat, with a goat, in the rain, on a train. This hyperbolic resistance serves both comic and psychological purposes, showing how rigidity of thought often leads to absurd positions. The character becomes a caricature of stubbornness, allowing young readers to recognize and laugh at their own occasional inflexibility. This portrayal of resistance resonates with children who often experience new foods, experiences, or ideas with initial skepticism. By exaggerating this common reaction to humorous extremes, Dr. Seuss validates children's natural caution while gently suggesting there might be a better way. Sam I Am stands as one of literature's most memorable embodiments of cheerful persistence. With his bright smile, unwavering optimism, and seemingly limitless energy, he represents the antithesis of the narrator's rigid negativity. What makes Sam I Am such a fascinating character is not just his persistence, but the particular quality of his persistence. It never crosses into aggression or manipulation. Throughout the story, Sam I Am demonstrates several key psychological principles of effective persuasion. First, he practices what psychologists call incremental request strategy. He doesn't demand immediate consumption of the green eggs and ham, but gradually introduces the possibility in different contexts. This approach aligns with research showing that people are more receptive to new ideas when they're presented as small, manageable adjustments rather than dramatic changes. Sam's persistence also exemplifies what modern psychology calls optimistic resilience. When faced with rejection, he doesn't become discouraged or defensive. Instead, he immediately pivots to a new approach, maintaining his cheerful demeanor. This resilience serves as a powerful model for children learning to navigate social rejection and setbacks. Interestingly, Sam I Am never attempts to coerce or trick the narrator into trying the green eggs and ham. He doesn't hide the food in something else or pressure through guilt or shame. His approach is fundamentally respectful. He presents options and possibilities while acknowledging the narrator's agency. The crucial turning point comes when Sam says, "You do not like them, so you say. Try them, and you may." This statement acknowledges the narrator's stated preference while gently challenging its foundation. The visual characterization of Sam-I-Am reinforces his psychological approach. His small stature compared to the narrator could make him seem insignificant, yet his boundless energy and expressive gestures give him a commanding presence. His yellow hat becomes a visual motif for optimism and brightness against the often darker backgrounds where the narrator broods. What's particularly noteworthy is that Sam-I-Am's persistence isn't about winning an argument or proving himself right. His goal appears genuinely focused on sharing something he believes will bring joy to someone else. This distinguishes healthy persistence from mere stubbornness. It's other-focused rather than ego-driven. Sam-I-Am's approach to persuasion offers valuable lessons about effective communication. Maintain positivity, respect autonomy, offer options rather than demands, and focus on shared positive outcomes rather than winning arguments. Dr. Seuss masterfully employs increasingly dramatic settings to amplify the central conflict between Sam-I-Am's persistence and the narrator's resistance. What begins as a simpy domestic scenario gradually escalates into ever more improbable locations and circumstances. Houses, boxes, cars, trees, trains, boats, and eventually a sinking ship in a storm. This progression isn't merely for comedic effect, it serves several deeper narrative functions. The expanding settings create a physical manifestation of the psychological escalation between the characters. As the narrator's resistance grows more adamant, the environments become more extreme, mirroring the intensifying battle of wills. This technique helps young readers visualize the abstract concept of psychological standoff through concrete visual scenarios. The settings also function as a series of distraction techniques employed by Sam-I-Am. By constantly changing the environment, he shifts the focus from the food itself to the circumstances surrounding it. This aligns with psychological research on how context affects perception. Our experience of anything, including food, is heavily influenced by the environment in which we encounter it. The culmination of this setting progression, a boat sinking in a storm, creates the narrative crisis point necessary for resolution. When the boat crashes and the characters end up underwater, it represents rock bottom, both literally and figuratively. This moment of chaos disrupts the established pattern of refusal and creates an opening for change. It's only after this dramatic environmental shift that the narrator finally agrees to try the green eggs and ham. Dr. Seuss's illustrations enhance this environmental storytelling through color psychology and spatial dynamics. Early settings use more confined spaces with limited color palettes, while later scenes expand into more dynamic compositions with heightened contrast and movement. The final underwater scene uses swirling lines and a distinct blue-green palette to signal the disruptive turning point. This progressive use of setting demonstrates Dr. Seuss's understanding of how external circumstances can influence internal decisions. Sometimes, we need a significant disruption in our environment to break established patterns of behavior. For children, this offers an important lesson about adaptability. When circumstances change dramatically, it may be time to reconsider fixed positions. The settings also serve as memory anchors for young readers. The distinct visual scenarios, house, box, tree, train, boat, create memorable markers that help children follow the narrative progression and recall the story later. This technique enhances both reading comprehension and retention. The climactic moment when the narrator finally agrees to try green eggs and ham represents one of children's literature's most satisfying turning points. After relentless refusal throughout the story, the character's capitulation comes with a mixture of exasperation and resignation. "If you will let me be, I will try them. You will see." This pivotal moment captures several profound psychological insights about how people change their minds. First, the narrator's decision emerges not from persuasion about the merits of green eggs and ham, but from a desire to end Sam-I-Am's persistent requests. This reflects how real behavioral change often occurs, not through rational argument, but through a combination of social pressure, fatigue with resistance, and the desire to resolve an uncomfortable situation. Sometimes we try new things simply to prove our initial rejection was justified. The actual moment of tasting is illustrated with remarkable psychological accuracy. The narrator's face shows anticipation, wariness, and preparation for disappointment, all emotions familiar to anyone who has reluctantly tried something new. Dr. Seuss captures that universal moment of suspended judgment just before a new experience. What follows is genuine surprise. "Say, I like green eggs and ham. I do. I like them, Sam I am." The exclamation points and repetition convey not just acceptance, but enthusiasm. This dramatic reversal illustrates how our preconceptions often prove wildly inaccurate when tested against reality. The narrator doesn't merely tolerate the green eggs and ham, he actively enjoys them, highlighting how resistance to new experiences can deprive us of unexpected pleasures. The transformation extends beyond mere food preference to a broader change in outlook. The character who began the story with crossed arms and a scowl ends with open arms and a smile, physically embodying the psychological shift from closed-mindedness to openness. This visual transformation reinforces the story's central message about the value of trying new things. Particularly significant is the narrator's immediate acknowledgement of his error. "I do so like green eggs and ham. Thank you, Sam I am." This expression of gratitude represents emotional maturity, the ability to appreciate being proven wrong rather than becoming defensive. For young readers, this models how changing one's mind can be framed as a positive growth experience rather than an embarrassing admission of error. The transformation scene also illustrates what psychologists call the mere exposure effect, our tendency to develop preferences for things simply through repeated exposure. Sam I Am's persistent presentation of green eggs and ham throughout the story may have unconsciously prepared the narrator for eventual acceptance, even before the actual tasting. Dr. Seuss's illustrations are far more than decorative accompaniments to the text. They constitute a sophisticated visual language that deepens the narrative's psychological dimensions. Throughout Green Eggs and Ham, the illustrations work in concert with the text to chart the emotional journey from resistance to acceptance through deliberate visual techniques. Color psychology plays a central role in this visual storytelling. The green of the eggs and ham isn't just a whimsical choice. It represents unfamiliarity and the unknown. Green food, outside of vegetables, triggers instinctive wariness in humans, making it the perfect color to represent something we're predisposed to reject. This contrasts with the warm yellows of Sam I Am's hat and the familiar browns and blues of more conventional environments, creating a visual tension that mirrors the story's central conflict. The character designs themselves communicate psychological states. The unnamed narrator begins with exaggerated features of resistance: furrowed brow, downturned mouth, crossed arms, and a body positioned away from Sam I Am. As the story progresses, subtle shifts in posture and expression hint at the eventual transformation. By the final scenes, the character's body language has completely reversed: open posture, raised arms, and a genuine smile. Spatial relationships between characters also evolve meaningfully throughout the book. Initially, Sam I Am and the narrator are positioned at opposite sides of the page, visually reinforcing their oppositional relationship. As the story progresses, they gradually move closer together until the final scenes show them sharing space harmoniously. This visual convergence parallels their ideological convergence. Line quality changes subtly throughout the book as well. The early illustrations feature more angular, rigid lines when depicting the narrator, while Sam I Am is consistently rendered with rounder, more fluid strokes. As the narrator's resistance softens, the lines used to illustrate him gradually become less harsh and more curved, visually signaling the internal change. The backgrounds transform from simple, sparse settings to increasingly complex and chaotic environments, culminating in the dramatic storm and shipwreck scenes. This visual progression creates a sense of mounting tension that requires resolution. When the transformation finally occurs, the background simplifies again, creating visual calm that reinforces the emotional resolution. Dr. Seuss also employs visual repetition with variation, a technique that mirrors the linguistic repetition in the text. The plate of green eggs and ham appears consistently throughout the book, but its presentation and the character's reaction to it evolve. This visual motif helps readers track the central conflict's progression. Perhaps most subtly, the illustrations gradually shift from predominantly cool colors to warmer tones as the story approaches its resolution. This temperature shift in the color palette creates an almost subliminal sense of warming toward the initially rejected food. The linguistic architecture of Green Eggs and Ham represents a masterclass in how rhythmic repetition can create both accessibility for beginning readers and sophisticated narrative momentum. Working within his self-imposed constraint of 50 unique words, Dr. Seuss transforms limitation into linguistic virtuosity through strategic repetition patterns. The book employs several distinct repetition techniques. First is the anaphora, the repetition of phrases at the beginning of successive clauses. I would not eat them here or there. I would not eat them anywhere. This creates a hypnotic rhythm that makes the text predictable for new readers while building a sense of the narrator's intensifying refusal. Another technique is the cumulative repetition structure, where each repetition adds a new element. Not in a box, not with a fox, not in a house, not with a mouse. This pattern serves both memory and narrative functions. It helps children remember previously introduced elements while continually expanding the story world. The book's rhyme scheme follows a simple but effective AAB pattern: ham, Sam, box, fox, house, mouse, creating satisfying phonological closure at regular intervals. Research in cognitive psychology has shown that rhyming text significantly improves word recognition and recall for beginning readers. The predictable rhyme patterns allow children to anticipate upcoming words, creating a sense of participation and achievement. Particularly brilliant is how Dr. Seuss varies the syntactic structures within his repetitive framework. While maintaining the same vocabulary, he shifts between questions, declarations, and exclamations. Do you like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam I am. Try them, try them. This syntactic variation prevents the repetition from becoming monotonous while teaching different sentence structures. The book's linguistic rhythm also creates a pendulum-like momentum between Sam I am's offers and the narrator's refusals. This back and forth establishes a pattern that makes the eventual break in the pattern, the narrator's acceptance, all the more powerful. The rhythmic consistency makes the transformation moment stand out precisely because it disrupts the established linguistic pattern. Dr. Seuss also employs strategic emphasis through punctuation and typography. Exclamation points highlight emotional intensity, while the varying size and weight of text draw attention to key moments. When the narrator finally declares, "I do so like green eggs and ham," the text visually reinforces this breakthrough moment. The linguistic simplicity of the book also creates space for complex meaning. By using basic vocabulary in creative combinations, Dr. Seuss demonstrates how limited language can express nuanced ideas, a valuable lesson for both beginning writers and sophisticated readers about the power of simplicity. Perhaps most remarkably, the repetitive structure never feels mechanical or tedious because it's always in service of the evolving narrative. Each repetition adds new information or context, creating what linguists call repetition with a difference, a technique that satisfies our desire for pattern while maintaining our interest through variation. Beneath its playful surface, Green Eggs and Ham presents a profound philosophical stance on how we should approach life's unfamiliar offerings. The book advocates for what psychologists now call openness to experience, a personality trait associated with curiosity, willingness to try new things, and receptiveness to unconventional ideas. This quality has been linked to greater creativity, psychological well-being, and adaptability in numerous studies. The narrator's journey from categorical rejection to enthusiastic acceptance serves as a parable about the limitations of prejudgment. By refusing to try green eggs and ham based solely on their unusual appearance, the character nearly misses out on something he ultimately enjoys. This simple narrative captures a sophisticated epistemological principle. We cannot truly know our preferences or beliefs without direct experience. Our preconceptions are often poor predictors of our actual reactions. This philosophy extends beyond food preferences to broader life attitudes. The book gently challenges what psychologists call neophobia, the fear of new things, which can manifest in children's eating habits, but also in adults' resistance to unfamiliar ideas, cultures, or experiences. By showing how rewarding it can be to overcome initial resistance, the story encourages readers to question their reflexive rejections. Particularly significant is how the book frames the experience of changing one's mind. Rather than portraying the narrator's reversal as embarrassing or undermining his authority, the story presents it as a joyful discovery. This positive framing of belief revision offers a valuable counterpoint to cultures that often view changing opinions as a sign of weakness rather than growth. The story also contains subtle commentary on the balance between persistence and respect for boundaries. Sam I Am is persistent but never forceful. He offers but doesn't impose. The narrator maintains agency throughout, eventually choosing to try the green eggs and ham of his own volition. This models healthy persuasion rather than coercion, suggesting that openness to experience should be encouraged but not demanded. Dr. Seuss's philosophy aligns with Aristotle's concept of the golden mean, finding balance between extremes. The story doesn't advocate uncritical acceptance of everything new, nor does it endorse rigid rejection of the unfamiliar. Instead, it suggests a thoughtful middle path, initial skepticism followed by willingness to test assumptions through direct experience. The book's enduring appeal across generations and cultures speaks to the universality of this philosophical message. From picky eaters to political polarization, the human tendency to reject the unfamiliar without fair consideration remains a persistent challenge. Green Eggs and Ham continues to serve as a gentle reminder that sometimes our strongest convictions deserve to be tested through firsthand experience. In an increasingly complex world where we're constantly confronted with new ideas, technologies, and ways of living, the simple wisdom of trying green eggs and ham before deciding we don't like them remains surprisingly relevant and profound.